Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Having another walk off in the Welsh Hills. We've not seen anyone today, even though it's really, really sunny. So we're just coming into Farmhouse Valley through Windy Gap. And we're just freestyling it a bit today because we've had a very exciting morning. I've probably been looking at the news, analysing the news for probably about 4 or 5 hours. And now we've come out for a walk and we've been talking about it all the way up the hill. So this is really going to be another podcast, or third, to do with the mainstream media. And in the last podcast, I asked the question, under what circumstances do we feel that the mainstream media would turn on the government? And in that podcast, we were talking about how the mismanagement of the pandemic would severely affect the economy. And really, the media would turn on the government if they mismanaged capitalism, basically. But today, there seems to be another reason why it seems like they are finally starting to turn on the UK government. And that is, again, to do with the mishandling of the pandemic. But this time, it's really to do with the astronomical death toll that we already have and we are about to encounter over the next month or two because of their absolutely terrible ways that they're dealing with it. From every possible way you could imagine, they're dealing with it badly. I can't see a single thing that I could say about any of this where they've done even slightly a good job. And it would appear that the death toll is going to be so great that the mainstream media is going to find it very hard to support our government. And there is no way they're going to be able to lie their way out of the reality of the death toll figures. They're not going to be able to cover it up, even though they are trying, by not reporting the cause of death properly on many of the death certificates, especially with older people, where they're encouraging coroners to write down diseases commonly associated with old people, like Alzheimer's or dementia or other reasons, rather than COVID or suspected COVID, to try and keep those figures out of the official statistics. But as I've been noticing, the BBC, Channel 4, they are on it every day, how these figures are not being recorded properly, and especially in the care homes, the absolutely catastrophic death toll of the care homes, which is estimated to be about 8,000 now. But when you hear the death toll figures every day for Britain, these figures are only the amount of people who've died in hospital. So the people who've died at home or in care homes are not being recorded. So actually the death toll is far higher. So our mainstream media, certainly with what we've been seeing today, it looks like they have a very strong suspicion that the Tories are going to go down for this and they don't want to go down with them. And particularly, we're looking at the extremely scathing article in the Sunday Times, which particularly criticises Boris Johnson, but the Tories in general as well. So this, I mean, this has been happening all over the papers, not consistently, but far more than you would have expected them to, considering how much they supported the Tories before this, and basically how they put them in power.
Yeah.
But also, on the same day, which almost seems like a coordinated effort, the Daily Mail, which is known for supporting the Tories and a very right-wing rag, has published an article by the new Labour leader, Keir Starmer. Now, I can't remember. Not that I ever read the Daily Mail, so I could be wrong in this. I can't remember there ever being a time where the Labour leader was ever around to write an article in there that where he himself has written it. It's not written about him. So this seems to be quite a unique event. So with these two things happening at the same time, it almost seems to be like a bit of a pincer movement. Like perhaps the mainstream media and the people who own the mainstream media don't want to take the blame, don't want to be part of the blame for the death toll, and they're grooming Starmer to be, to lead the regime change, as it were. So what do you think's going on, given all the stuff that we've seen today and leading up to this moment? Because it's been drip, drip, drip every day, but today seems to be particularly explosive. So what's your take on what's happening?
There are numerous explanations being offered across social media. There's all kinds of pundits of all degrees of insight and knowledge and access to facts and so forth. I think it's kind of simple, however. At least the Sunday Times article, which I did in fact read this morning, as to why the natural allies of the Tories, the Murdoch press, are turning on them. I'm not sure what the Sun's up to at the moment, which of course is the key popular Murdoch tabloid. Rapidly losing circulation and money for him, fortunately, but nevertheless still influential. But I don't think it's actually quite simple. I think the writing's on the wall for the Tory government at large regarding their performance in the management of the pandemic and its impact in Britain. When Germany, a country which is quite a lot bigger than the UK, I think there have only been 5,000 deaths, say only, 5,000 too many, but 5,000 deaths. UK, today we're up around 15,000.
When you factor in the ones that aren't included, you must add another 8,000.
Oh, yeah, really. Probably you could.
And that's only in, what, 3 weeks?
Yeah, in a few weeks, yeah, it was kind of minuscule at the beginning. And Germany's testing, and Germany's got loads of equipment. And was it a better place to start with? Because they haven't wound the health service down to the degree that the UK health service has been wound down, privatised, and prepared for the American takeover and an insurance-based style, which is on the cards. They deny it, it's on the cards. But the stealth privatisation of the health service has been happening since Margaret Thatcher, actually. And John Pilger will enlighten you on that if you watch his film, The Dirty War on the NHS. Keep telling people to watch that. You must watch it. So a fact like that, which is well known and getting plenty of circulation on social media, pretty well damns the Conservative government in its management of the pandemic. And the Sunday Times article details how they were late with this and late with the other, and were very cavalier.
Yeah, not just late, just didn't actually bother.
It seemed as though they weren't bothering. And then there was the herd immunity fiasco, which they're now denying, actually, even though evidence is coming to light that they really were thinking along those lines. The previous evidence that we've seen floating around on social media was a little bit equivocal, but now you can be fairly certain that that was the way they wanted to go. And the evidence is a Boris Johnson speech which he gave to some business people, in which he more or less admitted that the economy came first. So, to the extent that the Sunday Times article is credible, and I think it is, I think you can fact check a lot of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it. To that extent, there's a lot of shit going to stick to the Tories, and probably for a long time. And the mainstream media who are themselves in crisis don't want it to stick. They don't want any other ship to stick to them. They're kind of, they are literally rats jumping ship. And I think it's as simple as that, what's going on. I know there are various conspiracy theories about how Murdoch doesn't like Boris anymore and he wants Gove, and he's been cultivating Gove. But I tell you what, Gove hasn't been doing too well on the media either. He had a disastrous interview with Sophie Ridge on Sky, in which he refused to answer a question about the UK sending items of protection for nurses and so on to China in February or early on in the crisis, and he just refused to answer, which was a bad look, even though he was a bit better prepared when he went on Mar, apparently. And but people are still trolling and shilling for the Tories and claiming that this Sunday Times article is a gross exaggeration, or that they are doing the best and nobody could do any better.
Lots of other countries are doing better than us.
Yeah.
New Zealand, yeah. For example,
yeah,
doing very well.
Yeah. I think they've got 11 deaths now.
Hide behind that and say, oh, no one could do any better, because lots of people are doing much, yeah, much better.
Of course, what they say is, oh, well, that's a different circumstance. And you could probably put an argument together about what's going down in Germany as to some kind of difference, some essential differences that means it was going to run differently for them. But I think none of this washes. I think objectively, they fucked up. And obviously, what there'll be arguments about that. But I think people are steamed up enough to, just like Brexit, to be irrationally down on the government. And I think people are getting a bit ratty with being locked in and banged up, you know, as well. Yeah. And they're certainly getting ratty when their relatives are dying and they can't go and be with them. And they're dying in care homes, you know. And when their relatives are carers and they're dying, there's 50-odd medical personnel, frontline personnel, doctors, nurses, etc., have died so far. And there's a huge furore about them not having the proper gear. Of course, we've gone into this when we talked about Cygnus. And epidemiologists have been warning of a pandemic sooner rather than later for decades. We've known for 100 years that there was one coming down sooner rather than later. We've actually been kind of lucky, really. So I'm running more with they don't want the shit to stick to them than I am to some kind of conspiracy in smoke-filled rooms between Murdoch and a lot of all of these shady oligarchs and their lackeys in the press conspiring in a very precise way to produce a very precise outcome of regime change. The result might well be some kind of regime change. It might be such a furore. If we get social unrest, which seems like a possibility, as this thing fades off, and people are not getting any money to live on, because the system ain't up to delivering 10 million dole payments or whatever it's got supposed to be happening.
Or they very, very deliberately decided not to go for universal basic income, which would have
They've deliberately decided not to do that. So there's a lot. If you've got this combination of social unrest, people very, very irritable because it's stopped being fun now, being banged up, and grieved by the loss, and agitated by the poor treatment of frontline workers, enlightened as to the true worth of workers over and against hedge fund managers, that there might be that combination might put such pressure on the government that maybe the Tory party will have a vote of no confidence in Johnson and try and have another leadership election. It happened to May. But of course, it was a different situation with May, because the Tory government was battling with a minority government and having to depend on the DUP. And they were being battered from pillar to post by the opposition. And we were completely unable to make any decisions or pass any laws. But now they have a majority of 80. And I think Johnson could dig his heels in the hope that people will forget.
Yeah. But in the past, when the Tories have been persecuting and unfortunately causing the deaths of many people through austerity, these groups of people were always other groups. Yeah. It was the disabled,
yeah,
or the poor, or just other groups that the Tory supporters could care about. They could get away with not caring about them. But yeah, this situation is directly affecting them this time.
Yeah.
This is the big difference. The death toll due to the virus may not even turn out to be as big as the death toll due to austerity.
Yeah.
But because this is now indiscriminate and it's happening, yeah, to everyone,
yeah,
they can't get away with yeah, it. And unfortunately, I think when this is over, I think most people will know someone personally who's died or been severely affected by the virus with perhaps a permanent lung damage, which will affect them for the rest of their lives. So it's going to affect everyone.
Yeah,
they can't lie their way out of that.
No, I don't think it is indiscriminate. I think it's heavily biases towards the poor.
Oh yeah,
the poor. You know, we can't do
but
a Stanley.
Everyone in the sense that it isn't targeting particular groups like the Tories were before.
Yeah, there is something in that, and of course they will try and push the democratic nature of the virus as an ingredient in their propaganda war to push the blame somewhere else, you know, and to push the "we're all in it together" trope as a counter to the realisation that a lot of people are going to have, that class distinction is alive and well in the United Kingdom and is a political issue, and it's a frontier on which we actually need to fight against oligarchy. So I'm a bit careful with this "we're all in it together" thing, you know, and or it affects everybody equally. I mean, the fact of Johnson having it, they'll try and play that.
Oh, they will, yeah. PR gold, that's what it was.
It was PR gold.
Yeah.
And he was a saint. Just only last week, he was a saint.
Yeah.
This week,
Boris the Butcher.
It's the Murdoch press are fucking going for him.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. But I think it is down to, they wouldn't mind regime change. I know Gove is favoured by Murdoch. Murdoch does try and call the tune for politics all around the world. And obviously always in some kind of rightish direction. Murdoch's support for Tony Blair notwithstanding. So, yeah, I think that's the main thing. There will be some of the other stuff going on. There will be some of the other stuff. It is possible that the whole shit show could crumble. These things happen very, very quickly. And a lot will depend on what happens over the pond as well.
Yeah.
It does have a disproportionate ripple effects of stuff that's happening there. And of course you've got these idiots protesting against the lockdown and Trump egging them on. And they're carrying guns in the open as well. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's tragic. You know, we look askance at what's going on there. Sort of posted today of somebody on one of those demos, and it was social distancing equals communism. I mean, I put a comment on Twitter on that says, "Well, great." I don't know what the logic is there, but if it is viable, cool. Let's have it. Bring it on. You know.
So just looking at the idea of like why Murdoch would perhaps be thinking to replace Johnson with Gove, why would that be? What's Gove got that's going to be
Nothing.
Better for him, really, because isn't Gove just up to his neck in the same shit, really?
He is, he's an idiot.
So, and also...
In my honest opinion, Your Honour, Michael Gove is an idiot.
Yeah.
And he admitted publicly to taking cocaine, just to rub everybody's nose in there. Which is pretty hypocritical, really, that the Tories want to be tough on any kind of social disobedience, you know. It's one of their things.
And social disobedience is what they do every day.
Yeah, it's like one law for them, another law for the rest.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things I dislike about them the most, on that sort of visceral level. Obviously, their politics, their ideas about the economy, their ideas about human nature, their ideas about how the world works, their ethics, everything, to my mind, is completely topsy-fucking-turvy. And they ain't got a clue about anything, basically, except perhaps making lots and lots of money in the various ways that don't involve getting your hands dirty. That's my view. But yeah, I think it's down to damage limitation on the part of the mainstream media, I think, what's going on there. With the BBC and Channel 4, well, Johnson came for him. He bit the hand that fed him. They delivered him the election. Well, along with quite a good bit of help from whoever was doing the Tory micro-targeted Cambridge Analytica-style stuff, and there's no way that didn't happen. And the right wing of the Labour Party, who were using micro-targeted Facebook ads to make sure that their party didn't win. So, amongst those things, the BBC and Channel 4 got pretty well helped. The BBC probably more than Channel 4 helped Johnson to get in with a majority of 80. But he turned on them pretty well straight away.
Because they criticised him once.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's that kind of personality.
Because the child was being left to die on a hospital floor, he didn't respond in with any compassion or empathy whatsoever.
Yeah.
He just carried on talking about Brexit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
So going back to the Keir Starmer article, so this in the Daily Mail. So who is it who runs the Daily Mail again?
It was on the Mail on Sunday, I think. I did read it. You sent it to me and I read it. It's short and fairly easy to summarise. The Mail's owned by Viscount Rothermere.
Yeah. So how in line do you think Murdoch and the Viscount...
Well, they're right-wing arseholes with loads and loads of money in both cases.
Do they have the same agenda or is it a bit different?
It's going to be a bit different. Essentially, the shill to the working class to get behind the status quo. Capitalism, there is no alternative. And as right-wing as they can, and using any means available, including lies, including racism, turning people against foreigners, turning people against benefit, scroungers, you know, all that kind of poverty porn. They do all that the same, the Sun and the Daily Mail. Both do. I think the Mail, and it's probably the worst of the lot. It's really, really shitty, in my honest opinion, Your Honour.
Yeah.
But there ain't all that much between them. So what's Starmer doing in there, you know, well... And why they're being so friendly to him, to let him...
Has it ever happened in your living memory? Has the Labour Party leader been allowed to write an article in the Daily Mail before?
I don't think Corbyn did, but some senior people have, fairly recently.
What about the actual Labour leader?
I don't know. But it does happen. I don't really keep track of it, but I know that they do sometimes.
So what was in this article?
He said he's trying to do the statesman thing, the reasonable, calm person. He said he was with the government on the lockdown. He was with the government on the extension of the lockdown for another 3 weeks. This was the right thing to do. He didn't want to do politics for the sake of political party score pointing, but the government must be pulled up. If it does seem they're going in the wrong direction or they have made mistakes, and he was prepared to do that. He thinks they haven't managed it very well for pretty similar reasons to the Sunday Times Wallers who wrote that article. And he wants the frontline people to be honoured when it's all over and their role recognised without specifying. There is a big call for them to have a huge bonus or a gift of some money from the state or something. There's quite a call for that. Matt Hancock's idea is to give him a badge with care on it for £8.99.
They have to buy themselves. Yeah. Oh yeah, this is what a marvellous reward.
There's another kind of shoot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, they're so shit, man.
They used to be masters of fucking PR, but really they just totally have lost the plot. So that's basically Starmer's thing, is, you know, and he's trying to be reasonable. Oh, we're not going to score points just for the party political, but we are going to pull them up on So trying to sound all reasonable and statesmanlike, and, you know, calling for this recognition of the frontline Wallers. Oh, there was one thing that he definitely got right, which was that, well, things are not going to be the same again. He's now returned to normal, exactly.
Yeah.
There is some kind of reconfiguration has gone on, like it or not.
Do you think it was written in a style which would appeal to, say, Daily Mail reader who wasn't like a hardened Tory supporter no matter what?
It might do. It might actually do. But I mean, you can see what he's doing. He's going to try and get on the right side of the MSM, the Tory billionaire-owned fascist press, to position himself the way Tony Blair did. Well, Tony Blair had the backing of Murdoch. No political party has won an election without the backing of the Sun, since the Sun was instituted in the 60s. And that includes Tony Blair. You know, and the Sun backed Tony Blair, Murdoch particularly backed Tony Blair. Tony Blair went and saw Murdoch and made friends with him, and he must have given him some reassurances.
Wasn't Tony Blair the godfather of one of Murdoch's children, or yes, the other way around or something? So they did, yes, actually have a, yeah, fairly close relationship,
yeah,
already.
Yeah, but you can see what was on offer by the things that the Labour Party didn't do in three terms. It didn't repeal Clause 4. Which was the commitment of the party to the public ownership of the means of production. Blair got rid of that, and it hasn't been reinstated. So it fundamentally changed the character of the party. Blair went along with the neoliberal consensus that Thatcher and Reagan had made into political realities out of the theories of Friedrich von Hayek and James Buchanan and Milton Friedman, and obviously a whole load of their students and followers. PFI, that was Labour. That was made big inroads into this project of privatising the National Health Service. That was halfway there, PFI.
What's PFI stand for?
Private Finance Initiative, something like that. But it was to bring private money into financing the building of hospitals so that the government wouldn't finance it, and so that the taxpayer would be paying interest for like 50 years. An absolute disaster with hindsight now. Also, Blair didn't really repeal any of Mrs. Thatcher's very, very draconian anti-trade union laws. So, of course, Murdoch had a history of conflict with trade unions, particularly the Whopping fiasco, when he managed to change the mode of production of newspapers. So there's a whole lot of reasons why Starmer courting the right-wing press is to be viewed with a certain caution. But it seems to me that he's having a project for a long, slow grind. Because if the Tories do manage to hang on to power, yeah, and go full term, and with a majority of 80 however shitty it gets, they might still be able to do that. He's playing a long game. That means Starmer's playing a long game. And of course, if they do cave in, he's got his ducks in a row, or at least halfway in a row. So he's cozying up to the right wing press by doing this. But the article was fairly reasonable, a bit lukewarm. I much prefer John McDonnell on Twitter just calling them out. He said they fucked up. They should be called out. They fucked up. So that's my thought about that. That he's playing a long game. He's going to hope to try and get the backing of the right wing media. What would be a mistake is not to really figure out how the Tories did a Cambridge Analytica job in the last election, and to find the means of heading that off next time, as well as doing their own stuff. And it seems like the Labour right already knows how to do that. If he wants to win, he's going to need to pay attention to that. In 4 years' time, some of the MSM will have gone out, the print media. They are now moving in to their online presence, and they're making quite a kind of good, skillful job of it, because they've got lots of money. They do have lots of money to do this stuff. So he's got to be a bit careful, but I'm presuming he's been advised that even if the Daily Mail goes, the Mail Online will persist. In fact, where I saw it was in the Mail Online, not in the actual newspaper. And it was free as well. You're allowed to read a certain number of articles for nothing. So that was free. So it's out there. So that is my thought as to what he's up to with that. I think it's supping with the devil, and you've got to be careful. I think he's not a leftist. He doesn't care, you know. He's only a mild leftist.
Another thought occurs to me about the mainstream media, MSM, not wanting to be associated with catastrophic disaster that kills a lot of people, is the fact that the government is still insisting that they're going to go ahead with Brexit, and instead of saving people's lives in the pandemic, they have been concentrating on Brexit instead. And given that they have deliberately given themselves a very short and totally impossible time limit, and are making ridiculous unicorn demands that the EU can't possibly agree to, they are definitely heading towards a no-deal Brexit, which, if they go through with this on top of the pandemic crisis, will be just an unimaginable disaster in every possible way. So not only have they utterly fucked up in the pandemic, they're going to have a double whammy when they do that, and maybe the press see that coming and don't want to be associated with that either.
Well, the Sunday Times article, that was one of the points that they brought up, was that the 2016 Cygnus exercise said that if there was a pandemic, that the NHS would be overwhelmed, and they'd do well to prepare. The government basically suppressed that report and did nothing about it. And the Sunday Times article that we've been discussing puts forward the proposition that this happened because all of their people who can deal with this kind of stuff, and all of their attention and their effort, was diverted towards getting a no-deal Brexit, or preparing for the eventuality of a no-deal Brexit. So there were no resources given over to pandemic preparations. That's point one. You're right, I think, that Brexit, on top of all this, will be a no-deal Brexit, because there have been no meetings to speak of. The reason being that the European countries are in lockdown as well. Michel Barnier got the virus. Johnson's had the virus. So basically, nothing's happened for getting some kind of deal that will smooth the transition over together. Remember, this thing's due at the end of the year. And they did say if they couldn't get something in place by June, they were going to go for no deal. So The other thing is that a spokesman from number 10 Downing Street said that calls for an extension of 1 or 2 years, which are in the agreement as it stands at the moment, would not be made. That if there's no deal by the end of the year, it's no deal Brexit. This is a spokesman from Downing Street. That announcement came while Johnson was in hospital, ostensibly recovering from COVID-19.
Allegedly.
Well, I said ostensibly, but...
Because also, what this crisis has shown is there is absolutely no way that Britain is going to be stronger alone. Absolutely no way. The media knew this anyway, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well, there's a bit of...
But now it's like being really rubbed in our faces.
Disaster capitalism, but of course that's another topic.
Yeah.
Which we'll discuss at some point, maybe.
Maybe, yes. Well, we've got that one in line for the next one, haven't we?
Yeah.
Anyway, I hope everyone found that interesting. That's today's news. It's kind of quite exciting in a way. Could be a bit of a turning point, let's hope. Anyway, stay safe, everyone, and we'll speak to you soon.